bow and with our close. We're so grateful for that, Father. You've given us something worth living for. Lord, I think of our days of darkness. And there was not a hope in our hearts. We're so filled with frustration and depression. But then, Lord, you turned on the light for us. Lord, we saw a bright, new, shining day breaking forth. A great, glorious eternity. And to know that you yourself have come down in this dark and cloudy day, gathering the sheep together that there could be one shepherd and one fold. Lord, our heart thrills us as we recognize that we are part of this great gathering. We've heard you call us by our names, and we've entered through the door. What a privilege that is for us, Father. Now we can look forward to all you have in store for us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of man what you prepared for them that love you, them who are called even according to your purpose. And to know, dear God, that you are revealing those things now by your Holy Spirit. Since this great seven seal plan of redemption has been opened up, Lord, we see that we are going back to Eden as hard as we could, marching to Zion again. Lord, we just pray tonight as we would sit in your presence, that hope could come even a greater reality inside of us, Lord. Lord, it could be such a strength in the inner man to keep us pressing on the upward way. As the songwriter said, new heights beginning day by day. Still praying as we are onward bound, Lord, plant our feet on high ground tonight. I pray that you bless each and every one that's gathered in your presence. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would take the word and plant it deep down into our hearts tonight. And Lord, it becomes so real to each and every one of us. Meet every need that is among your people tonight. Our confidence is that you are the great omniscient God. You know what we have need of even before we ask. Sometimes we think we have certain needs, but it just shows our ignorance, our lack of understanding, Lord, because many times we would say something's our need. We don't even have need of it. It's just a loss. But Lord, you know what we have need of tonight. It might be a trial, Lord. It might be a testing time. It might be some fire to burn up the iron pyrite. Lord, it might be bringing us, Lord, to a place of suffering, a place of testing, where we could see in your greatness and your power, we could see a great manifestation of your presence. Whatever it is, Father, you know better than we do. We just ask, thou will be done. May you lead us and direct us, and may you have your way amongst us tonight. All we ask, Father, is that thou will be done. We commit ourselves into your hands. May you get honor and glory in this service. We commit ourselves unto you, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. God bless you. May have a seat. I believe we stopped last week on page 479 at the end of the first paragraph, which is the end of the 11 question. We just want to continue tonight and try and finish out. I had made mention I wanted to get one service in between to recap on the sixth seal, but knowing when we come to the seventh seal, we have to go right back to the sixth seal, because the seventh seal opens with Revelation 7 as the only material to go into the seventh seal. So we'll have to go right back to the sixth seal again. And many of those things, I believe we are picking it up right now on the services on Thursday nights. So it would not be so necessary to take a whole service to emphasize these things. So we just want to go right into the tape and try and maybe we could finish it out tonight. Then next week we would be able to start right on the seventh seal. So I trust that you have your books and you have it open, page 479. We're going to begin on from question 12 and many of these questions, you know, if you spiritually could see many of the people that so missed what was happening there by the questions they was asking, you could see their mind wasn't even on the seven seals most of the time. They never even understood what was happening. People wanted to have prayer for some headache, and somebody was sick, and then somebody had pneumonia, and then somebody, you know, was asking a question about the serpent seed and water baptism, and all these great things was happening right there because the people wasn't understanding what was really happening. And if you notice, when after the seals had finished open, then the questions they begin to ask is if the millennium start and if they should move out and go to Arizona to live, or if they should come and live close to the tabernacle and all these things. It just showed it was so supernatural that the people, and so simple, they confused many of the people, and God had to long suffer and wait until he could shake us out of all the carnality and all these things and bring us to a place where we could really grasp what was happening. I think somewhere right on this seal, this question and answers tonight, we're going to pick it up later on, I believe it's here, where he says, those who obey in the ABCs will get these deeper things when it come back around. Because it was going to come back around, and when you see it, you could begin to catch these things and have an understanding. You don't realize the grace of God it is to you. Because here was people that walked with the prophet, here was people that followed the ministry, here was people that sat in the tabernacle, here had people see the pillar of fire come and rock the church ages, here had people see the seal open up night after night, and they never understood anything. And if you are grasping it by the questions alone they ask, and you could see, and by if you could see you are grasping those things today, then it's just the grace of God that has come to you. As Jesus said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. It's more blessed to us that we could see these things, that we can have the privilege to enter into it. Because remember, he says, and in these messages that I started on Sunday morning, we're going to kind of find, when we're going to get a little deeper into it, that what we're really looking for, and what we talk about is supernatural and all these things, is such a simple thing, and that God could just bring us right into it. Because all these things that is going on right now, you know, we could be just like those people who miss it in the first time, and then the second time there'll be still people that's going to miss it and go through the tribulation. But those who are supposed to get it was going to get it when it come back around the second time, to take them into a rapturing fate. And if these things, you know, you don't realize what God have done to you, because of your sin, you know, you see all those miracles and all those things. And a lot of people today, because of a lack of understanding what we're looking for, they look for the first pull to happen again. Look for the great seven truckload of wheelchairs. They look for somebody to stand up on the platform and call somebody out and say, "You rise to your feet," or something like that, or "Your name is so and so." You don't need nobody to tell you your name. You don't need nobody to tell you where you're living, your address is. You know where you're living. They're not going to help you tonight. You see? Because those things never even heal the people. See, the people is already healed in Calvary. That was just to show Jesus Christ was present to help the faith of the people. But when he came to the third pole, it went from the from the signs to the voice. And now God was going to give the people rapturing faith, not by a sign now, but by the opening of the word. And it's important we catch that, because if we don't get that, we wouldn't know how God is working to do what he's doing now. You see? And that's why we say, with all these signs and wonders, after they saw Jesus raise the dead, they saw him raise Lazarus, who was rotten for 4 days. They saw him walk on the water. They saw him raise Jairus' daughter. They saw him on the mountain when the amber cloud come down and spoke out directly. They saw Moses and Elijah, who was dead for hundreds of years, stand back up right there. And after they saw all those things, they went back fishing. They were scattered. They were gloomy. Jesus had died. He had rose again. They didn't even know nothing about it. They was all confused and depressed, and I was so backslidden. They was going right back to the former things. And if he had not come back around to open the understanding to the word, then all they could have seen, I saw great miracles, I saw those things, but it never brought them to nothing. But that word, that when you open that word and the understanding, it took them right into the Holy Spirit that wrote the book of Acts. So you see, it's to realize what is doing it. What did it first and what is doing it again. Because if that word was not open, they would have just been ordinary fishermen who had the opportunity to be in a meeting and see things, but the miracles never changed them. Because the miracles is not sent to change your soul, but the word is sent to change your soul. See, that is the thing. And that is why you need to catch that word. As our brother's praying tonight, we need revelation more than our very own food. If God come and do great things right among you here, in the sense that maybe it's time to turn his back and begin to call people out on these things, that's not going to give you a rapture in faith. That's not going to put you in the rapture. You may feel good. You may say, our church, and we church, and we see that last night, and then you know what's going to happen? All kind of lizard and spider and eel going to come running right in. Exactly. But remember, when the third pull come, he was throwing back what the first pull and second pull caught. Look at Jesus. When he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he was throwing them back off. Because it was not supposed to go to the promise. They just followed for bread and fishes. See? And he didn't come to get people to entertain them. He come to pull a people out to show his victory and the reason of his death. To show what he died on Calvary for. That's why the word has come to bring a stripping. The word has come to bring a killing. The word has come to bring a dying out completely. That the word itself could live again in the people. Now we'll not just see a miracle that Jesus could do, but we'll see the same character and life of Jesus Christ. That people could spit in your face and you could say, I forgive you. See what we're talking about? People lie and accuse you, and you could be dumb before your sharers without one retaliation, without one trying to defend yourself. As much as people try to dig you and probe you and say, defend yourself, say back, and you have nothing to say. That would be the victory. That's what he's trying to do. And that's why we're saying, when he comes to the end of his ministry, and he came in judgment hall and he's going out to raise the sleeping saints and all these things, he never did none of those things that attracted all Israel, that brought the 5,000, the mountain, the 7,000. He never did nothing like that to pull those people. He was going right on with a purpose. He looked bound, he looked defeated, he looked rejected and despised. But yet it was the greatest hour that it was. So greatness don't mean things to excite you. Because remember the power that was performing the miracles. Here was the very same one. Peter, who had performed miracles and cast out devils. Judas, who had performed miracles, ended up betraying him. 70, who returned back rejoicing, couldn't go on in further truth. All these people had great ministries. Shook the nation in a great revival. They had power to cast out devils, all these things. But Peter, with all that power to cast out devils, couldn't take a true stand for the word in judgment hall. He hadn't the character. He wasn't even converted yet. And what he's bringing now is, this is the age of the life of those gifts. See? Where that life is going to prove is the same yesterday and today and forever. And when that life lives out in the people, it's far greater. It's far greater than what happened back then in the beginning. The first and second pull. That's why when the whole Pentecostal world, even the historian, they thought Brother Branham died a disillusioned man looking for a great ministry that never was. They prove he's a false prophet by saying, I'm going to have a greater ministry than my first and second pull. And when he died and he never had this tent that they looked for and this great ministry, they say he's a false prophet. Told a false prophecy, never come to pass. He said the first pull and the second pull wouldn't even be comparison to this that is coming. And the people never saw it. And they say, they thought he was washed up. And he so knew where he was. He said, I ain't washed up, I'm washing. You understand what I'm saying? Because in the eyes of the world, they say the first pull was 7 truckloads. Then the third pull, which is far greater than that, will be maybe 7 times that. So it'll be 49 truckloads we could be looking for. They think greatness will be a multiplication of the first. But it was greatness in quality. See? And that's why he says, when you come to the greater works, he said on the Kingdom Bible, say more, but he says, look what the greater is. When he stood right there in the boat with 2 brothers and raised a little fish, that was the greater right there. When he stood in the woods by himself and spoke exclusive to existence, that was the greater right there. And that's why the world, even people in the messages, confuse what we're looking for. They walk in churches and they see churches look almost like bunged and defeated. And they say, that can't be the church. Same way they saw Jesus look bound and defeated and said, that can't be the Messiah. If he's the Messiah, come down from the cross. And they had in their mind a certain manifestation he must do in that hour to prove to them he's the Messiah. But he had already proved, and what he was even doing was proving right in that hour that that was Messiah. But God wasn't giving them, God wasn't going to meet a false expectation. Because what they was expecting, the word didn't say that in that hour. And if you looking for something to happen in this hour that the word didn't promise, it's the same thing like they had. He will do all that he promised. Now you say, the book of Acts and these things, it stumbles people. They want to see the book of Acts again. And the book of Acts, part it start in Jerusalem. Part end up in Galatia. Part was in Ephesus. Part was over in Rome. You see, part was in Cyprus. So many different places where Paul had went. Traveling in the ship, part out in the sea. When the angel come all out there. Over 30 years. The book of Acts ended with Paul going to Rome to die in AD 66, somewhere there. And it started in AD 30 when the Holy Ghost fell in Acts 2. So you're talking about 30 years a period of time that those things happen. And if you, let me tell you this, if you go to accumulate things that have happened in this message and put in a book form to read, in all the message churches around the world, is more than this book of Acts. But you see, if you don't have if you have the right conception, you sit down there and you're looking for something to happen. And you feel, because I say, many times believers, they try to push themselves into things. They're not seeing this in their life, they're not seeing that in their life, they're not seeing that in their life. They're looking for things to happen. Because they don't know what God wants to do through them. Because they don't know that, you find they're disappointed with their life. See? If God called you for a certain ministry, then he's going to do that through you. But if he didn't call for that, he will never do that through you. And why would you want to try to live up here if God called you to live here? Because God built you and designed you to live here. And you may try to live up here and you go up and you can't take the strain of it. I see many a man that try to make themselves a big leader in the message, end up neurotic and carry people off on a tantrum, can't repent when they go wrong, different things. Because why? They tried to step in the place of a prophet. Brother Branham is one man. He was make up that he could have the whole city, all the hotels filled with people from around the world waiting for interviews. People all in the doorstep, people falling there night in a motor car. Now he make up he could have lived in that realm. Sometimes you have 2-3 people ringing you up and you're more confused and frustrated and depressed and you feel like they can't give you a chance. And he had the whole world almost pulling off of him. But God make him with his sanity. God make him with his shape to carry that kind of load. And we see the glory that falling. We try to live in the end. You can't even handle it. Sometimes people design ministry that just look. I leave by about 1:20 last night. Seen people from since 6:30. Get this morning like a headache. See, because you got to be built for what you're in. See, if you build a place that sometimes you watch people that desire certain things and then. From the time the pressure comes upon them, they can't handle it. See? And this is where may the Holy Spirit, we want to help us in this hour to bring us to the place that we can just find our place and just be faithful right there. Be dedicated right there. You realize it's such a joy to serve God in the place that God has called you. And then when you know exactly God just wants you to do a certain thing, you just do that. You see, like someone said, Brother Brown, you know, 2 weeks, the castle of the devil, I can't castle the devil. He says, Sister, God didn't call the castle of the devil. He said, God called the prayer. While you praying, somebody else castle the devil. He said, how the body is. God called one to castle the devil, God called one to pray. He said, and he castle the devil because you praying. You see, we don't know that. Then we want to go and castle the devil because we want to get a personal glory. When your part would be just praying. Ain't no one praying, Lord, and you stand behind the ministry and Lord, we gather the ministry of prayers and Lord, we know that, you know, you stand faithful right there. But when you want to go and say, well, I cast out the devil. You know, and you have your little exorcist book. How much devil did you cast? Well, I cast about 50 by now. Maybe what Jesus come out, I'll reach 100. You know what I mean? He's not like that at all. He's not like that. That's why we just want to do what you have to do. See, the sisters come and sing a song tonight. Can't really get there. Sing a heart out. 2 minutes there. But the Holy Spirit just move forward and anoint their hearts and bring you to the place to recognize what you have done for you, to enlighten you, inspire the hope that's inside of you. Keep you pressing on, ministering unto you. Sure. That's what it is. See, and if we could only see that and dedicate ourselves to it, I tell you, you would see such a thing. And that the prophet, his ministry was to get the church placed, because the Joshua commission was to take them over Jordan and divide the inheritance and place them out. And he said, I'm trying to get the Pentecostal church in the book of Ephesians. That's what he's trying to do, because Ephesians is the body of Christ. See, Colossians is the head, Ephesians is the body. And we can just get us placed out, everyone in the place, then it'd be so beautiful. Then you could just sit down there and while somebody maybe going to sing, you just pray for them, Lord. You know, because you have faith that God have them to sing there. And you pray for them and you pull on the song and you receive the Spirit ministering to you through it, and it just bless you. See God showing for himself, then when time for the sick come forth to be healed, then you find then that Bible says the elders come and anoint them with oil and these things, offer the prayer of faith and shall save the sick. See, sure. So you have to have faith in the elders to come forward and let the exercise in the scripture. You see, it's sure you see, Bible says you call on the elders. Caleb called on Joshua. If you recognize you sitting there, there's a God-sent ministry there with the word. You see the authority, the word investing them. You watching the one that give the authority. You're watching the man there. Yeah? The man can fail, but the ministry can't fail. Exactly right. See, it's a body of believers. But Abraham is a one-man scripture, but now is a many-membered body. See? When you come to a many-membered body, then you just want to know, Lord, let me find my place. But remember now, it takes the Holy Spirit to place you out. If the Holy Spirit just can't take a converted man and stick him in there, no, you gotta be born in there. You gotta be baptized into there. So when he do something, it'll be done through by the power of the Spirit and not the energies of the flesh. It wouldn't be human ability. It'd be the power, because Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. But the life that's in the vine that is flowing through the branches to bring the fruit. Branches bear, but the life comes from the vine. See? And when you know what he's doing, then your faith could set right in the channel of what he's doing. And when you pull it on him, you pull it on him according to what he's doing. If you don't know what he's doing, then one man trying to do this, one man trying to do that, one man, and he did it at the judges, every man trying to do it right in their own sight. See? But when his body is being revealed, and we know in that time, because remember, you're not going to go into the rapture until you know who you are. You know why you're not going until you know who you are? Because you don't have the real faith until you know who you are. You can't really serve him according to what he wants of you, because you don't know what you are. When you know positionally what you are, then you can be right in your course doing those things. And all every scripture in this Bible would exhibit itself. In different ones, it'd be showing it out. See, he says God called you to be a farmer, you be a real farmer. You get there though, and you're going to put your seed in the field in the wrong time. You can't even catch the farmer and the early rain. See, the next thing you don't even have a crop. See, so then you have you have no crop. Your barn's empty. You see. You then what Solomon say? He say, thou sluggard. You pass through the summer, you no bread, you end up empty. He just consider the way the ant. How before the winter season come, the ant have all the food on stop or ready to go through the winter. You see? Now watch that. You see, simple things, you know? And right, you're going to see. But if you're a father, you're a husband, and you there and you begging a bread here, and you're doing this here, and you're doing that over here, you're a bad testimony to be a father. You're not reflecting fatherhood. It come like a minister stand up in the pulpit here and say, oh, he God sent, and then put in some creed. It shows his light is not coming from the throne. But if he's reflecting light from the throne and bringing forth revealed truth, and he's anointed, and he stand there anointed by those cherubim, bringing forth the word in its season, light for the church to walk in. You see? He must reflect that mystery of Christ. So the same way a father in his home needs headship. Because the home can't be established without headship. Just like the elder of the city in the Old Testament, the elder with Salma went forth and founded Bethlehem, is that correct? He became the elder. He stand the gate afterwards. Alright. So then the same way, who stands at the door of your house? You. You see the film? When the brothers is coming up, prophet walk right to the door. Stand there, let her come through him in that house. Then here was his wife, out there, she come out to the kitchen with a tea, all right? Begin to, no, she was not a minister to the brothers. You see? Then he sat down there with the brother, and he began to testify of how the angel came, and the gift that he had, and the ministry, and where it fit in the Bible, and the expectation for the meetings coming. Ain't talking about golf in the house, and come on, Vivian Richards, make my way thinking. No, what was happening there? In the house. You see the film? What do you think God put out a film for? You know when you walk in your house, you don't see where your wife coming from? You should have telephone, talking to the sister down here, so, and you heard your last week, and you know, so. Coming from the kitchen with the tea to minister to the brothers. Minister to the guests. Make them feel welcome. Amen. See. Out of place. Put them to sit down. Relax yourself. Yes, sir. See, for the home to be established. Well, the same way that home had to be established, the church had to be established. And the same way the church had to be established, a tongue had to be established, and a nation had to be established. And the entire body had to be established. It's what it was in the Bible. See? And then when you see those things happen right there, in your home, then that mother, she have to catch that revelation of motherhood and reflect it to her children. Her children growing up with a revelation that they could call their mother blessed. Not like a Sarah had to call Abraham. Say, you don't call me Lord. The Bible says, Sarah call Abraham Lord. Then the mother tells the children, you don't call me blessed, you know. You're not your mother. No, not that, no. That come back as Seventh-day Adventist again. That's the law. That's when I demand something of somebody. No. The life that you live, the children walking in it, because you minister to them. That ministry of sacred motherhood minister to the children. They could call their mother blessed. That's the arms that wipe the tears. That's the hands that wash them and bathe them and clothe them. See? That the breast that nursed them. Exactly right. See, that fed them, prepared the meal for them, bringing the goods from afar off like the merchant ships. Get up early in the morning, see. Sew the clothes and put on the back and clothe them in the cold season, keep them warm. Exactly right. Go back in the Bible and see. See. It's a ministry. See, so in one sense, people shut up the womb and don't want to bring forth no children. In another sense, people bring in forth children and tell them how to be delinquents. Still wrong. Both is two extremes. You have to be one bringing forth children and lend them to the Lord all the days of their life. It's a ministry. Everything, and that's why I see when you begin to find your place, you can dedicate your life to it. Because all I could teach you about the bride of Christ, I could take it from just a wife and teach it to you. Take it from a woman with that feminist nature and teach it to you. So any sister, the revelation. Is not knowing this about the bride and drawing a pyramid and explaining to me seven thunders and the headstone and this and that. It's not all that. It's what you catch, you can reflect your children right there. You see? That's where the ministry is. That's why you see the prophet say, ministry is farmer, ministry is a wife, ministry is husband. And people look at it and say, nah, that can't really be that. Mind shallow. Can't see the things of God yet. Because everybody called to preach. And sitting in the church showing your place alone. Because church is just two hours a day, three times a week. See, down your place. When you go home, you come in here to understand more about your ministry. You come in here to be ministered to. That you could grow in the revelation of your ministry. See? Exactly right. And when those things unfold to you and you see how simple they are, then you're gonna see things happen in the home, different problems come up there. But the Holy Spirit, this is a praying mother, it's a praying father. To come right in there and give you the revelation. Because why? You're reading your Bible every day. You're hearing the message. He knows just how to direct you and give you the word for your situation right in there. And then the things you don't understand, you have the ministry there for. That may take a gift to open up. You have the ministry there for. But other than that, just by hearing the word, just in your own life and seeing how the Holy Spirit is going to work inside you. Have those things, then you're going to see a real, real church in order. See, in order. Because the order is not sit down here geographic in that seat and don't move until service. That's not just the order, you know. See, that's not just the order. You see, that is a order for service. See, that is order for a religious service while it is in progress. But you mean when the service dismiss the order done? No. Which say, let every man abide in his calling. See? And you have that calling. See, but give and calling of repentance, you know. But when you got children, when you're unconverted, you live out motherhood. But without a true revelation of what motherhood is, of what you're supposed to reflect. But when you become a Christian, it don't change nothing. Now you're in the body, and you're plugged into the socket that have current. Now you know what the mysteries and the channel it must operate through. See? So instead of you educating your child, they maybe they get this, a BA and a MA, they're getting a real scriptural BA, a born again experience. You lead your children to the altar. Yes. They could see Christ in you and say, I want to serve God like mommy and daddy serve God. I want to know God like mommy and daddy know God. See? They could see that kind of thing inside of you. When they begin to see that kind of thing, then it's different. And you watch and see. Let me tell you, that is just a task. And you in your own little position, going to have a full-time, 24-hour job like a minister behind the pulpit. Exactly right. Because when you are the neighbor next door, they're going to throw words for you. They can make one church attacking the next church. And you could get carnal and start a fight back too. And then you could get your children woke up and don't talk to them and get the altar too. That's how ministers that make the church and get the people against them people in that church and get people in that church. It's the same thing. And then there's a big wall built up between your neighbor. Because what happened? You start to build a denomination and fence in your own. Exactly right. See? So those things, as you say, is very simple things, but the reason you don't see it, you're not in the spirit. See, you see, in the spirit don't mean in service while the blessing falls. Ooh! That ain't not being the spirit, you know. Being the spirit is a place you just live. You may feel blessed in service, blessings falling. Certain things while the word being preached and you're being stimulated, but that's not being the spirit. When your life gets in the spirit, when you get caught up in the revelation of the word, and when you understand how God works and God's program and where you fit into it, then you live a life in the spirit. Whatever I do, I want to do it in the spirit. See, now what Pentecostal spirit is, ooh, the spirit here, boy, and you talk about some kind of thing moving or something you're feeling. But what about when he say, I will be with you and in you, even to the end of the age? What about that kind of spirit and that kind of leadership? See? That's our everyday life. Constantly in the spirit. Because you're following the word. You're hearing the voice of the spirit, the scripture that has been sown down in your soul, speaking to you. Telling the imagination, shut up, and the word faith speaking out of your heart. Keeping you in line with the word constantly. See? You watch and see. But just to raise children alone, you think that's an easy job? God may give a minister 200 children to raise. He may give a housewife 5. See? Out of she 5, 4 turn delinquent. She watching the minister 200 and seeing 10 backslidden and criticizing the minister. Two of them raising children. Two of them have a ministry to raise children. Both of them producing backslidden children. Both of them producing delinquents. It's different. Yeah, it's the same thing. You see, oh my God. I want you in the atmosphere, you criticize, and then your life and your ministry is the same thing, but in a different form. And you're criticizing yourself. You have an excuse for your own. Because you're calling this the church, which means the building here. You're criticizing here. But in your own home, you're passing things. Well, like your church home and like your pulpit home. It's the same thing. You see? That's why I see. You see, the things of God is simple. You see, and God is a father, so he revealed himself as a father in the Bible, so all fathers could break into that channel to understand fatherhood. God is a mother, so he revealed himself as a mother in the Bible, so all mothers could break into that channel. God is a wife, so God revealed himself as a wife. God is a husband, revealed himself as a husband. Continue on to the Bible. So it's nothing difficult. You have to go and look somewhere to find. All you have to do is watch your own life. See? Any little young girl, as Paul said, tell the Corinthian church, is I fear for you? Is I espouse you the chaste virgin to Christ? You see, but that behavior you have there, that lack of discernment, and this company shall not of Jesus, you see, I think you as you super and beguile, you better take care, you will end up and come to your husband with seed already. Before you get to know you. You see? So the same way he was showing there, any little young girl not having out the whole of virtues, keep it sacred. Otherwise she's no different. It's all there. It's all there for us. All we have to do is look at it. And see it. And you're going to find how much a full-time job to go. You see, my miss had a hurry to get something. Speak to the people, to get the mind of God, to know the leadership of the Spirit, to direct the people, to keep them in course. You see me, you gotta keep your home in course. Same with the church standing in the island as a public example, and other churches where you could be a blemish to the whole message and a discredit to the other message churches. Same way in your neighborhood, your home could be the delinquent home in the neighborhood. Or your home could be the home that's shining light in the neighborhood. Exactly right. You see? So you see all those things that sometimes you look in a church and you see that. But just remember, your home is a church too. Remember your children come out of a womb, the same way the church have a womb and they elect leaders and her children too. In the same way. And the same way that the beauty of any home, when those children, in respect, in decency, in submission to the parents and anything, the only beauty time you can get the beauty is when the same thing going to church too. And then, isn't the church people coming from homes? Isn't this a representation of homes here? Well, we sure can't claim the home righteous and the church could be crooked. Because these are representation of homes. That's all here is. And what is happening in the home will reflect itself here. Exactly right. You see? So that's why I see you in your home, when you think you're coming to church and trying to learn that, to know it in the sense of knowledge and information, and you ain't seeing how those things apply to you in your home, to see a certain atmosphere, see a certain order come, to see a certain harmony come, see respect come in your home, see decency come in your home, there'll be problems. And from the time the Holy Spirit can really meet the need in the home is when they have headship in that home. When the Father speaks in the home and his voice can be respected. From the time the Father speaks and the wife says, you could talk to me, so. And the little children hearing and seeing Daddy had a get up and he ain't getting no breakfast and he do something like that. You know what's going on? It should be no honor for the head. No respect, you see? So then it means to say then, when a minister speaks in a church, that word is not accepted and taken, and people come in submission to it, is at home the same way. No different. If the honor of fatherhood has been given to the father at the end of the home, and it means they can't be respected in the house of God. It's the same way. I'm the wife, is more boss. Then you're going to find in the church, a congregation, there's one or more dictator or minister what to do and how to go. Exactly. And you don't get nothing by breaking God's order. What the Bible say in a case like that, do if the husband is seen sitting in the home? A chaste conduct coupled with fear. Waiting a church, if a church feel a minister so wrong, waiting that game to go correct. You think talking about him, criticizing him, doing his, get anything done? No. Far be from it. I'm nothing to get. Exactly right. And that shows the carnality of the people that they still haven't got a revelation of the word yet. And the word is God. So all the God we claim to know, that we even know him yet. Because we don't know his order, we don't know his channel, we don't know his way to do things, we're not even obedience the way he tells us, yet we see in people in disobedience. Exactly right. See, these are simple principles. Simple principles. Every time you could take the word like that in simplicity and walk in it. Let me tell you. You don't have to apply a search to see no more. You're walking from the right angle, you're walking in the right attitude, you're walking the right channel. It's normal for the seller to see. It seems like when a person was unconverted and they get converted, they start to see everything right? Well, the same way. From the time you get in the channel, you say, yeah, but this was here. But look, this fitting now. Yeah, but look, this over here. Because it comes normal. The reason all this static was because you was out the channel. When you see that come for that way. See what Brother Rami say? He say Moses wrong. He said, let God correct Moses. He said, Joshua and Caleb stay right there. No, it didn't mean that God, Moses could do what he want. It means God does so stay with his order. That's what it means. But when the carnal, the first thing to go, me, oh man, leave me. No, it's a carnal. Because you think it's a human thing. If it's a human thing, none of we ain't going nowhere. It's a human thing. So it can't be God thing and then human thing at the same time. Then a double-minded person seen it two ways. When you really get focused, you see exactly what it is. It's either the word being manifested for the hour, is God saying going to have a bride, and here is the bride coming up. Here the bride has been established, here the bride message being preached, here people being forming the image of the word, showing this is the bride. If God didn't say that, it's going to be like, I could have no message church nowhere in Trinidad, nor around the world. But you know, I'd have the message churches. Not because man feel the started, you know, because God spoke and said there'll be a bride from every nation. You have to come up. Exactly right. But it shows how much self-opinionated. And let me tell you, women who have no husband, it's hard for them to be under submission. Exactly right. Because the natural life, they learn accustomed doing everything for themselves. They have no man to tell them, no, stay here. And don't do this. It's normal. Isn't that so, Sister Cecilia? Well, you say amen too. Sister Joseph say amen, you say amen too. Amen. You see, no, in the natural, that's how women may not have no husband. But this church have a husband. Exactly right. Yes, sir. This church have the word to tell you what to do and what not to do. Yes, sir. See? So when you see the Holy Spirit being like, you see, now some of your lives designed that way, you know. Because you see, in some things, sometimes you look at God and think he's extremist, but God is extremist. You see, like Jesus lived the highest and went to the deepest depths of hell. And then was raised back to the highest of heaven. You have to look down on heaven. You see, it's how God has do things. And sometimes what has happened is that a natural woman could, you know, could show submission. It might be easy for she have a husband and then isn't she good to either show submission. But then sometimes God wants to show the depths of submission and the kind of heart submission can come from. He put a person in a place where they can't show with half of the show submission and then bring submission out to them. It's a greater submission. So nobody can have an excuse. This is God is doing this thing so. Exactly right. That's why you see the things of God is it just come for itself. You just walk in it. Just walk in it. He just furnished everything, and he planned it that from the time Mary get to Bethlehem, the last room in the inn could be taken. It didn't have none because he wants in the stable. Because the shepherds go get a sign, go and you'll find the baby in swaddling clothes. Because the mystery will be with shepherd and sheep they're born in, they're born in stable. No, nothing was going wrong. Then just at the time when the stars go be in the constellation for the wise men to see it. You see, everything had a fit. So if you plan to get upset, you see the same thing, God didn't love me, I come so hard on the donkey, I almost hemorrhaging, I can lose the baby and... Like and the angel said, it's God own, and like God taking care of your own thing, we have to go out business, and now we've got to go down the stable now, and think more hard. You should complain. What would be the situation? But by the time she get there, she maybe wondering, I wonder, why the baby in this stable? I mean, surely. Then she said, look, that ain't my business, eh? Is he started? He can finish it. My confidence, he know what he's doing. From the time the baby born, some shepherds come barging through the door. When them start talking to the angels come and the angels sing and so happen, she said, ooh, I don't realize why I shall be here. You see, it's more thing unfolding. It's a purpose. You see, that prophecy said God clock ticking right in time. Everything is in cater for the believer. You see, you're a believer, you just believe in your heart. And if you're a believer, you're walking by faith to begin with, and you're seeing everything the way God said it. Even though it ain't moving there yet. The same way you ought to see your children on table, you see they had to come in. The same way the prophecy John Ryan, blind still back in the pulpit, he said, I see your seed in the vision, so you have to see, go ahead. Well, it's the same as when you see a brother or sister allowed to tune. You see them in step. You keep praying, and by your prayer, see them in step. Exactly right, you're walking by faith. If you get in your human spirit, brother, things of God wasn't designed to be appreciated by the human spirit. When God do it, God had to give you, it has certain films that they have now. When you, it's not that three-dimensional business there. Have it there, and when you're going in, you have to get glasses to see it, right? But the so God thing is, when God do a thing, he have to give the eyesight to see it with. Otherwise, you can't see it. His spirit is coming to see what God doing. Otherwise, you tell me you ain't see nothing. But it's so it is. You're easy to talk to, you know. I just let's with a prayer into with you. Father, we thank you. It's so good just to talk sometimes, to communicate one with the other. And just speak from our hearts, one towards the other. Sometimes, like this, Lord, we just feel, we just go on and on, and your Holy Spirit will just come so close amongst us. Truly, it takes your grace to help us see these things and to live in that sphere. Now, Lord, we could truly reflect the true purpose that you have us for. Sometimes we don't even understand our environment, where you place us. Sometimes we think, Lord, if misfortune have us in one way and the other. One of these days when we reach home, we see the King in all his glory. Lord, we realize that there was such a great purpose. Like how Joseph stood up with his brothers and said, it is God who sent me forth to save life. They thought that they had mistreated him and done him evil and threw him in a pit. But he said God sent him to save life. So you send us in places. It looks like people have done us things and caused us to be in conditions, but you sent us, Lord. You wanted us in that place to bring forth life. Life that could save others. Fulfill your purpose. I pray that your Holy Spirit would so take these things, Lord, and make it so real in the hearts of your children. That we encourage them. We so place them out in this hour. Give them a rest. And Lord, it would perfect their faith. Even if we sit tonight to hear the minute portion of this tape, may you just help us and undertake for us. And may your word mean more to us tonight than it did before. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Love can feel my deepest wound. My deepest wound. Who in whose sorrow bears a part. Sorrow. Yes, a part that none can bear below. Oh, I'll never forsake him now. Never forsake him. I'll never forsake him. I'll never forsake. Cause he first love, oh, tells me of a Savior's love. Me of a Savior who died to set me free. Me free. It tells me of his precious blood. Precious blood. The sinner's perfect plea. Oh, lift your hands, I'll never forsake him tonight. Never forsake him. That's our pledge unto him tonight. Seek him, I'll never forsake him. Because he first loved me. Oh my, not only will we never forsake him, but he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Oh, blessed be his name. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty God. We thank you tonight, Father. Lord, we've come to the end of another service. How good it was to come into your house this evening. Lord, to pray, to contribute ourselves, to sit in fellowship around your word. Truly, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. And I pray, dear God, that these things that you have impressed upon our hearts, your Holy Spirit have, Lord, spoken and emphasized on the inside of us tonight. I pray we'd hold it dear to us, Lord, and Father, we'd continue steadfastly in these things, knowing that it is the truth, it is the way, it is the life. Lord, it's the light that you have sent forth, a bright and shining light that we could walk in this dark hour. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us that is gathered here tonight in your presence, Lord, as we are fixing to leave this building, Lord, we will not leave until, Father, we know in our hearts that Lord, we have received your word as it come forth from the mouth of your prophet. We believe it, Father. It is anchored deep down into our hearts. Lord, we pray that the word becomes spirit and life within us. And Lord, as we would live from day to day, that the life of Jesus Christ would be expressed. Lord, so freely and flow so freely out even unto others. And they could see Jesus Christ manifested without one flaw. Granted, Father. Lord, as we leave this place to go to our homes, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would go with us. May you watch over us, may you protect us, may you take us safe to our homes. And Father, may should you tarry in your lost life, you bring us back tomorrow. And may we come, Lord, with such a great expectation in our hearts. May we come out early, may we pray. And may we wait upon you, Father, that you could come and you could speak divine things, eternal things, deep down into our hearts. Grant these things, Father. I commit the people into your hands now. May each one go with your precious blessings. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. Daily wait upon the Lord. Let's sing that. Amen. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees, all till in your own good time, in your own good time, you answer my plea. Oh, teach me not to rely. May not to rely on what others do, what others do, but to wait and pray, to wait and pray for an answer from you. From you, oh, day that wait, wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are. Help me humble my pride. Oh, and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Oh, help me be on this earth. What you'd want me. As you'd go on your way, let's sing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to too, while hearts are aflame, while hearts are aflame, help me humble my pride. My pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Help me be on this earth. This earth, what you want me. Oh, from the depth of your heart, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to. Well, let's sing the chorus one more time. They that wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord.